right, Kevin Barker. I wonder if a team that's 74-86 and a bazillion games out on September 26th with two games left to play has ever had a closed-door meeting. You think?
Nope.
15-5, the Miami Marlins, who arrived in town at 5 a.m. with one of the worst offenses in baseball, put the boots to the Blue Jays in front of a crowd of just over 31,000. The first game of the final homestand of this regular season. The numbers, as always, 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Congratulations, by the way, to the Detroit Tigers. They have punched their tickets to the postseason, beating the Chicago White Sox today, and in the process, helping the White Sox set a record. So this was probably not the most embarrassing thing to happen in baseball tonight, Kevin Barker, would be my guess.
Yeah, I don't think so. Look, congratulations to the Detroit Tigers, right? And Scoobel gets to pitch game one, which is probably the most important part out of all that. And, you know, again, it just gets back to the conversation that me and you've been having basically since June that this could be the Blue Jays, right? I mean, if they would have tried to add some pieces to the pen, you know, I'm not saying that they would have made the playoffs, but they could have maybe been in the hunt and had a little bit of an opportunity to play some meaningful games down the stretch. Didn't happen. And, you know, sort of tonight, I think, is the tale of the whole entire season, right? They were 2-for-15, runners in scoring position. And, you know, Barrios, it is what it is. He just didn't have it. I mean, you wake up sometimes and things ain't going where you want them to go. Pen looked like the pen. Yeah. That's it.
Oh,
buddy.
Yeah. No surprise. No surprise. The only surprise pitching in terms of pitching tonight was Jose Barrios, given the way he's been he's been recently. He had a chance for a career high, 16 wins, the runs allowed. His previous worst game was 8 earned runs against the Phillies in 3 2/3 innings. That was in a 10-1 loss on May 7th. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590, 590-590 is the text line. Wherever you want to go with this, folks, you want to talk about the game? You want to talk about the season? Hell, you want to talk about the Detroit Tigers? Want to talk about the postseason? Wherever you want to go. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Kevin Barker, 199 hits. He's closing in 200. That's really, I think, the thing we are all focusing on right now. What do you think was the issue for Barrios? Is there one thing you could point to today?
Yeah, not really. I mean, could it have been he wasn't real engaged because of who he was facing? Didn't really know any of the guys. Didn't know how to attack them. Where they were at in the standings, you know, where the season's at, it's almost coming to an end.
He was getting ahead. I mean, at one point he had 10 of 12 first pitch strikes. It wasn't as if he was falling back or behind from the get go. Now his velo was down about a little more than a mile an hour. I don't know if that's you read anything into that in that situation.
Yeah, I think it's a bunch of things, right? He needs the back door and the front hip too, Samer, the back door slurve, the back foot slurve. Like, he needs all those things working. If not, he's starting to abuse the change up a little bit more. You know, the fastball just didn't look like it had the zip to it. The self-correcting to, you know, once it went off the tracks, to get it back on the tracks a little quicker, just to be more competitive, have a little quicker action. Just didn't seem like he had it, right? Both sides of the plate doing the things he needed to do with the late movement on the slurve. Again, what's the reason for it? Who knows? Like, it's a marathon, and, you know, some of these dudes sometimes just wake up and it ain't there, and I think that's sort of what Barrios is going through tonight. It shouldn't deter what he was doing in the entire season. I mean, he solidified who the opening day starter is next year, for me anyway, and,
yep.
You know, this is sort of, I think, what Barrios brings. He's consistently handed the ball every 5 days. I think coming into the next season, that's what you'll get, and hopefully when they add better offense to what they already have, that will be enough to, you know, sort of allow a veteran big three to do whatever it takes to give a lineup a chance to have the big inning. And I wouldn't expect anything different. You know, again, I don't think this is going to hurt him mentally or you know, force him into trying to make a mechanical change or anything like that. Again,
of course not. No, it's
can't point to one thing. It was just, again, it's one of them days where things just weren't working out.
I did get a chance to see a guy get three triples in a game, which is pretty damn rare. That was quite
exciting. You know what's kind of fun to watch is Klasse run. Holy moly. Like, you talk about picking him up and setting him down. I didn't even care he got thrown out of third with two outs.
Oh, God, no.
Like, yeah,
not
who cares? Like, I mean, that speed there you don't see every day. And, you know, Buck Martinez, exactly right. You'd rather have athleticism than to try and invent ways to force a guy to be a big leaguer. I mean, that dude had all the tools in the world. Now it's just up to a coaching staff, you know, in the minor leagues because of his age to refine, and especially where the baseball team's at next year. He's probably not going to start the season in the big leagues. I mean, you have better options to be the fourth guy, and, you know, you can put Nathan Lucas looks like he can handle a bat and could sit over there for a couple of days and give you a competitive at bat when he does come off in the eighth inning against a tough reliever. So there are better options, but man alive, Jeff, like his age, his speed, you know, the things maybe he could do offensively, hitting in the bottom of the lineup, getting on base, creating havoc with the way he could steal bases, get a little smarter when it comes to doing that. You could just tell he's raw, right? It's the timing of leaving his feet. It's, you know, even when he calls other outfielders off of balls that he should always be catching, like it's just a little bit late, right? So those are things he'll learn. Those are things that good coaching will, you know, teach him how to sort of do it, anticipate it, just sort of have his mental side catch up to his athleticism. But, man, that running is fun. Now, that's fun, Jeff.
I had no issue with him going to third in that play.
Me neither.
I mean, I really didn't. I wanted to see that, you know, given the situation. And, look, you're right. He's a young guy. He's a switch hitter. I mean, I'd rather have that guy down at AAA and knocking on the door than, you know, than a lot of other guys that we've seen this organization have. So.
Yeah, it's got to get some run, too, Jeff. You got to remember, too, right, they got an older right fielder.
Yep.
Dalton Varsho comes back, right? I mean, he's a bulldog. He'll run through a wall. You know, it's nice to see, hopefully, that he stays on the field. But if they don't, I think sort of Klasse is one of those guys where the way he plays defense, you know, hopefully he can still refine and work on his swing, you know, just getting to his big finish. He's a little man with a big finish. That's kind of nice to watch, too. It's kind of nice to watch. I just like the speed. Like, he could win a game by the way he runs, which is intriguing. It's just all the other things need to try and catch up. And, again, I think that comes with experience. And the more he plays in the minor leagues, the better he'll get. That way, when he comes up, there ain't as much coaching. Right now, there's more coaching than there should be. That's why next year, you know, you don't rush it. You send him back down. You let him try and just figure it out on the fly. And, you know, then when he comes up, he'll be what you want him to be.
Gee and Maple, you're on Blue Jays Talk. Hello, Gee.
Gentlemen, just a comment and a question. Ross Adkins, please, whatever scrap heap you're getting this junk from, these relievers, please, it's closed. The shop is closed. There's no more junk available. Please stop bringing these guys in. These guys are horrendous. My goodness. They've had about 7 or 8 relief pitchers, and I know they don't have any depth, which is their fault also. But Heinemann made these guys look like, you know. Anyway. It's brutal. Like, some of these guys, like the guests, and I've never seen anything like this bad in my life. But anyhow, just a question, and I'm just curious. Come season end, thank God, on Monday, how important do you think it is that management comes out and lets us know the direction this team's going to be heading as far as, you know, I know Adkins isn't going anywhere, but as far as John Schneider's concerned, because I think it's very important that we know what's happening early and see, you know, what this team is actually going to be doing next year. As a fan, this is the first year I haven't invested one penny into this team. First time I haven't gone to a ball game all in my entire life. And it's all based on what they did on last offseason. I knew this team wasn't going to be very good. I didn't think it was going to be this bad. But saying that, how important do you think that is to the players to know the direction, you know, and even the fans who are buying the tickets? So I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the direction, I think they kind of told you that at the trade deadline by what they did. you know, there's no indication that this front office plans on making a change in the manager's chair. I mean, there's no indication. I can't put it any other way. You know, all the discussions towards next year, we're led to believe Ross Atkins, Kevin, has very much been a part of that. So is John Schneider. So that would seem to indicate that they're going to be around next year. And I've said, you know, I have no problem with John Schneider coming back as manager. For the life of me, I don't know how you can judge a guy who's had to put up with, you know, basically one of the worst bullpens in baseball for 4 months of the regular season. And that's not on him. I don't know if there are people out there that think John Gibbons wouldn't manage this bullpen any differently. John Gibbons might have taken a couple of these dudes out the back and slammed them around a bit, but I don't think he would have managed the bullpen any differently. It's not like John Schneider had was looking at a ton of options in every game. You know, I mean, Kevin, the direction of this team, I don't know what fans expect. I mean, I'll tell you what Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro are going to say. They're going to apologize. They're going to say that they're to blame. Ross has already said that. He said that at the trade deadline. They're going to understand the fans' anger. They're going to say that it's not good enough. Mark is going to say it's not good enough. You know, it's nice to fix up the ballpark, but winning is the most important thing. They're going to say that. Ultimately, see, I think they're in a position right now where the only thing they could do to, quote-unquote, show fans which direction this team is going is to sign Vladdy. Kevin, I got no sense that's going to happen. I'm sure they're going to tell us that they're going to go out in the winter and try to add more offense and try to address the back end of the bullpen. I'm sure they'll say that. Mark Shapiro has already basically said the bullpen was the main reason that this thing fell apart. And Ross Atkins has also said that, you know, the organization's probably leaned a little too much on run prevention and not enough on offense. But is that a quote-unquote enough for fans? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, does getting rid of a couple of hitting coaches do it for you? It doesn't do it for me. I mean, I'm not saying it wouldn't be warranted, but is that going to make me feel, you know, uber confident going into next year if Spencer Horwitz is a cleanup hitter? Nope. Doesn't matter who the hitting coach is. Kevin, I'll let you chime in here.
Yeah, look, I think to Guy's point, I think fans need to hear what the direction is, right? I mean, I think maybe they'd like to hear that, you know, it's not good enough and, you know.
Yeah, but they're going to hear that.
Yeah, I'm sure they will, right? And to the players' point, I don't think the players care. I think most of the players that matter have been here long enough to – they're in action mode, right? It ain't about what you say. It's about what you do. And I think that's sort of where the players are and the organization's at and the coaches are at, right? I think that's – you know, we've been saying this, right? The deficiency and the talent just – again, look at it tonight. 2-for-15 runners in scoring position. Like the fastball versus lefties and situational hitting, Jeff, consistently – it's just not there for a team with this kind of payroll. So,
yep.
Yeah, look, it's they're going to probably say exactly what you just said they're going to say. And, you know, hopefully for fans that, you know, is good enough and they come and watch this team play. That's the most important part. If you love baseball, come and watch them, right? That's the beauty of having a team in Canada is that you're very fortunate you can buy a ticket and go watch them play. And, you know, Vladdy will be here, whether he's – you know, signed to a giant deal or not, at least one more year. So will Bo. That'll be two things you can hang your hat on. You can come and hopefully watch them get off the hot starts and help a team win baseball games at least early. But I'm in action mode. Like I just, you know, again, we're going to listen. We'll break down what they say because that's our job. And, you know, we're here to sell hope.
Not,
and that's exactly what we're going to try and do. But again, it just gets down to the ultimate thing of it's in action time.
Yep.
It's about what you do when the bell rings, which is opening day of spring training, that you have better hitters in here and you have a better bullpen in here. And it's just not a better bullpen. It's an eighth and ninth inning, guys. Dudes who get swing and miss. Buck Martinez said it tonight. The division is just too good. You got to get dudes in here who know how to punch a guy out in the eighth inning with a guy in second up a run. They ain't got nobody. They got to get three or four of them dudes. So, you know, it's less talking and more doing. I think that's where they're at for me anyway.
Yeah, I'm with you. I you know, again, I mean, I really Ross and Mark aren't going to come out and tell you we're going to trade for this guy and trade for that guy. You know, as long as there's no issues with payroll, which nobody seems to think there will be, there should be money to get stuff done. I mean, it's going to get back to this. They're not going to go out and fill all their gaps with free agents. They're going to have to make some trades. That's just the way it is. And, I mean, ask yourself. You folks see this lineup. Anybody out there that jumps out to you that you'd be willing to trade an established major leaguer for, you know, or in a package? I mean, there's some, you know, there's a whole bunch of 24th and 25th guys right now that this organization has. So, yeah, it's I don't think there's really much Ross or Mark can say that they haven't already said. I really don't. And I will say this, and we had John on our show today, Kevin, on Blair and Barker. I will say this. It is fundamentally important that Mark and Ross, when they address the media, it's fundamentally important, one, that they're on the same page. And That's it to me. One, they're on the same page, and two, the one thing I really have to know is what was the thought process behind letting John Schneider spend a large chunk of the season when you were only a game under 500 with a bullpen full of odds and ends? That's what I want to know. What was the thought process there? Who is responsible for that? What were they seeing? What were they being told that made them think that it was going to be fine to go with Chad Green and Trevor Richards and that
Nate
somehow
Pearson
this was
and Brandon
Nate
Little.
Pearson, that somehow this was going to work out? Just tell us what you saw. Tell us why that happened. And for me at least, that is kind of the missing. That's the missing explanation for me from everything else. I understand. Bo had a crappy year. George Springer's getting older. I get that. Vladdy had a slow start. Didn't have much protection in the lineup. He got it going. Justin Turner, Kevin Kiermaier, you blew it with the moves you made getting hitters in here. You just did it. Relvis Martinez flunked his PD test. I get all that with the lineup. Don't like it, but I get it. Philosophically, you went into run prevention. It didn't work out. Okay, I'm fine with that. That has an explanation, at least. What we saw to the bullpen, to me, defies logic. That, yeah, to me, is what I need to know.
Especially what other teams are doing. Look at the Tigers, right? I mean, these teams are going to get in with 84, 85 wins. I mean, this could be the Blue Jays trying to do this if your pen was better. Again, C.J.
McCaskey.
We talked
about the Yankees, Kevin. Yeah, the Yankees have won the East, and they were 26-26 in the East.
C.J. McCaskey came on our show about the Braves and said the reason why they have a chance to make the playoffs is because their bullpen. I mean, I know it's Olsen turning around his season and Chris Sale, but mainly it was the pen. It was shut down for most of the year, and that just goes to show you that you can stay in it. You can make a decent run. You can play meaningful baseball if you hand the ball to the right guys come sixth inning on. And for whatever the reason, the Blue Jays didn't seem to want to do that.
Dave in North Van. What's up, Dave?
Gentlemen. I'm a first-time caller, but based on what you just said, it might seem like we've been working together for years because you have segued into my point so perfectly. And I was listening to your show yesterday, the other day, I can't remember. It was earlier this week, and Jeff, you were kind of talking about questions you would like to ask at the postseason media availability. And you said, I'd like to ask Ross Atkins, what you just basically said, right? Why didn't you make a move to improve the bullpen when obviously that was an issue when you suffered injuries in the bullpen? And respectfully, I think you forget how easy the answer to that is, right? Listen to your own show from back in May and June, because we were having this exact same discussion. You were having a discussion, and I remember the prevailing sentiment at the time was because there was no one to trade. There was no one to trade back in May and June, and whenever this issue was the critical issue, this was the prevailing discussion on this show, and there was no one to trade. And that, to me, comes back to the front office's failure to stock the cupboard and have assets worth trading to bring in quality bullpen arms when the time came, let alone have a quality lineup. And, you know, you open their show, Jeff, by saying, take it anywhere you want to take it. To me, it seems appropriate that at the end, we take it back to the beginning. And since the trade deadline, it has been fun. And I admit, you know, like you and a lot of callers, it's been fun to talk about this young player and that young player and who's going to be part of the piece. And that's been fun. But it should not distract us from what is the critical issue and what was the predominant sentiment for the most of the season, and how this ownership can let this front office take this organization through another offseason, I do not know. It seems like that's going to happen, but, you know, you just raised it right before I got on the line about, you know, why weren't moves made to improve the bullpen at the time? And I think the answer is obvious, that there was no one to trade at the time.
I'm going to jump in here. Take a look around Major League Baseball and look at the waiver claims a lot of contending teams made in season to address bullpen issues. You don't always in season have to go out and make a trade to address your bullpen issues. You really don't. You don't have to make a blockbuster. Getting Adam Simber and Trevor Richards, you know, didn't cost the Blue Jays. It cost them Rowdy Tellez. Those were crucial moves. Those were crucial moves. They're not blockbuster moves. And, I'm sorry. They claim pitchers on waivers. It's just they weren't any good.
Well, doesn't that make me all the more right? I mean, if there was another pass and that didn't succeed, then, A, you didn't have moves to make, and you weren't able to claim, reclamation projects that worked out. Either way, it didn't work out.
Oh, yeah, it reflects it reflects badly in the front office, absolutely. I'm not defending them. But I'm just saying that if you roll it back to when Jimmy Garcia got hurt, Jordan Romano gets hurt, that's going to happen. Closers are going to get hurt. I mean, at that point, the season was still early, and you could probably say, okay, it's awfully hard to go out and make a deal at that stage of the year. And not a lot of teams make trades at that stage of the year. And yes, we can get back to the original argument, too, that it was kind of stupid to think you were going to be able to run back the same bullpen for 3 years in a row, because it just doesn't work out that way. But, you know, you have to do something. You have to bring somebody in who is better than what you have in that situation. You may not be able to bring in Mason Miller. I get that. But you know what? That bullpen was so bad that it was not that hard to find arms that were better than what they had. And I think part of the problem with this organization is they move slowly. They need to run everything past 150 people to get it done. And, you know, I think in some cases with this organization, there's paralysis by analysis. And you know, as I said, if you look at where the way baseball was going, you look at the fact that even by, the end of June, July, we were talking about the start of July, we're saying, hey, there may be a team that makes the postseason with 84, 85 wins the way this thing is going. There's not going to be a 100-win team. We all knew how balanced baseball was, for want of a better word, and maybe they should have been more aggressive then. You know, maybe you trade Aurelvis Martinez before he flunks his PED test. I'm just saying. I'm sure there were moves they could have made, but they hung on to their guys. And, Kevin, I mean, that's where I am. They got a $235 million payroll. They're smart people. They should be able to fix the bullpen. Like, they really should. I fail to believe that it was impossible to go out and get better arms than the Brendan Littles and the Ryan Burrs of the world.
Yeah, nothing is an option that's pretty hard to take. I think that's your point, right? I mean, at least if you're going to go down fighting. I think that's the point, right? I mean, it's not going to kill your future if you go out and try to add pieces just to, you know, try and shake it up a little bit and maybe mix up some things and you know, not so much worry about what's already on the 40-man and how you're going to maneuver around that and try and get guys in.
They treat everybody in this 40-man roster like they're gold. And I mean, you look at the team. They're the worst team in the American League. They're one of the worst teams in baseball. Let's call it what it is. You look at these guys out there. A lot of these guys. You see a lot of gold? I don't see a lot of gold out there. I really don't. Anybody that you absolutely, positively need to have in your organization, I don't see a lot of guys like that. I see some guys that I like more than other guys. I see some guys that I think that can help. But I also see a lot of guys that are just guys. And you're not going to win with just guys in the American League East. Because I got news for you. Everybody in this division is going to be better next year. They just are. Nobody's getting worse. Even if the Yankees don't sign Juan Soto, I guarantee you they're not going to sit in their hands and do nothing.
Nope.
So, I mean, that's where we are. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590, 15-5, the Miami Marlins have beaten the Toronto Blue Jays in the first game of this three-game series to end the 2024 season. Some text, Alex, in St. John, New Brunswick. What message does it send to fans that ownership is not going to fire Shapiro and or Atkins at the end of a season like this? I mean, we've talked about this. You know, I think there is a lot of faith in Mark Shapiro when it comes to ownership. And, you know, let's make clear that I really do think the focus this offseason shifts to Mark Shapiro. There, it really does, because you got big lifting to do. You got heavy lifting. You got big deals to make.
I think
you got
after
big
the,
picture
the,
stuff. To
after
draw.
The renovations are done, after the complex in Florida's done, you know, I think they may be banking on ownership. At least I would be, that Mark's more involved. Like Mark's, you know, digging in and really thinking about how to make this team better, and relationships with other agents and organizations to try and figure out how to get better players in here, better talent, and can sustain a winner and actually help the superstar that they do have. Because now I think we can start talking about Vladdy like a superstar again. And it would be a shame, even if you don't sign him to a big deal, at least try and use him while you got him. And for me to get the fullest, I just bring back that Alex Cora not walking him, because there's a hot Alejandro Kirk on the on-deck circle. Kirk. I mean, just think if
and
that
Cora
was somebody
still playing for something at that point.
There you go. I mean, it's just, you could close your eyes as a Blue Jays fan and think about just what if there was a guy from the first day of the season.
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590, 15-5. The Miami Marlins have beaten the Toronto Blue Jays. The Jays are 74-86. Two more games left Saturday and Sunday, and then we wrap up the 2024 regular season. We will take a break, come back on the other side, hear from the skipper. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
He's aware of it, you know. That's a pretty cool benchmark for any hitter, you know. It means you play a lot, and it means you're really good at what you do. He's aware of it for sure, and I think hopefully he gets to that point. And it's a nice thing for him to say over the course of a very young but really very, very impressive career already. And I think that he can challenge for that year in and year out. So hopefully he can get it done and smile about that and get the ball. And hopefully he can continue to do it here for a lot of years.
As John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he's got 199 hits. Kevin Barker, he's one away from 200 with two games left. And that after a 15-5 loss to the Miami Marlins tonight at the Rogers Center. 200 hits is a big deal.
It is. I like what he said at the end there, that hopefully he can do it here for many, many years to come. I mean, that's pretty cool for a manager to say. I mean, regardless of what you think of John, I mean, it sounds like at least they've had conversations, and, you know, maybe they're trying to get something done. It would be nice. Just where he started the season, you know, up until June, he wasn't a very good hitter. After June, he's top five hitter in baseball. I mean, that's to tell you, most of his numbers all happened from June till now. Yeah. Like, that's pretty impressive. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully this is a stepping stone. He can continue to do this. I said this. He's a Pujols, 330 and 100 year after year after year. He had a couple of hiccups trying to learn. Now it seems like mechanically and timing and just, you know, what he don't have to swing at to do damage on, using the entire field, the way he hits breaking balls. I mean, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. I think we are very much on the same page with Vladdy Jr. So he will continue the pursuit of 200 hits. He's got two more games to do it, tomorrow and Sunday. A reminder that after Sunday's game, Barker and Blair will be along for a one-hour post-game show, radio only. We'll put a bow on the 2024 season, maybe look ahead to 2025, and maybe hear from you, our listeners, our callers, our texters, as to what you need to hear. Not what you expect to hear. What you need to hear from the Blue Jays Brain Trust over these next 3 or 4 days. So, 15-5, the Miami Marlins put the boots to the Blue Jays. Two more games left in the regular season. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Elmsdale and Port Dufferin, Nova Scotia. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.